from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show in Chicago. It's a very, very good show.
Afternoons on the Score.
A 1-2 pitch again. He struck him out of the fastball, out of the zone, and that was heat upstairs. He needs two. The 3-2 pitch to Castellanos struck him out. He ties Ed Walsh. The 3-2. Strike three called. He's got the record. He got him looking. He got McCann looking at strike three, and he breaks the record of 107 years of Ed Walsh. Congratulations, Chris Sale. Here's what they sound like at U.S. Cellular, saluting one Chris Sale. Sale for the win tonight on a night when he set the record of strikeouts for the White Sox that lasted 107 years. Oh, brother.
What are we doing here?
Chris Sale, still good at baseball, a Cy Young favorite and an All-Star. In fact,
35 years old, and he says he's learned a lot from his years of not pitching because of injury between 20 and 22, and is now rolling for a great organization. You said it, man. Cy Young favorite. I got a bet on him. I placed a couple of months ago.
Oh, nice.
He started to look real good. I was like, boy, wouldn't that make all the sense in the world? Guy goes to Atlanta, finds greatness again. And there he was on display last night, among many other tangents of Chicago baseball.
Yeah, well, because it's really disappointing, just the Chicago baseball representation. Garrett Crochet, unbelievable story, unbelievable season, but the lone White Sox representative because every team needs to have one. Not that he isn't deserving, of course he is, but every team needs to have one, and he'll be wearing a White Sox cap for another 2 weeks.
Ugh.
And then there is Shota, who is a great signing and a seemingly great guy and great story and a front office win, but the Cubs are supposed to have four guys at this All-Star game.
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of those kind of years.
It's supposed to be one of those kind of years.
For sure. You think Seiya's supposed to be there?
Steele.
Either Dansby or Nico and Steele.
Yeah. You know, so it's very disappointing that Shota.
Porter Hodge ought to be there.
Very disappointing that Shota and Crochet are the only Chicago representation there. And then with Crochet, is he going to go down this list when he's meeting other guys at the All-Star game of former White Sox that then go to All-Star games because they didn't get paid by the White Sox?
Steve Greenberg did a really nice job writing up a White Sox column and a Cubs column in the Sun-Times. So the Cubs won about Shota, and we can talk about Shota. But the White Sox won about Sale and Reynaldo Lopez that also references Garrett Crochet. Just made me feel like those three guys all kind of exist somewhere on the space-time White Sox continuum. That all leads to a grand question posed very well by Chuck Garfine. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
I mean, Chris Sale was brilliant and never truly pitched in a game of consequence for the White Sox. There was a moment in 2012 where it looked like, oh, maybe Sale's going to pitch in some meaningful games here down the stretch. And then they fell apart in that September, and that was that. You know, And Reynaldo Lopez, they tried making him a reliever. They tried making him a starter. They tried doing everything. And then he's like a throw-in with Giolito for a trade. And right now you could look, maybe it's him who's been the best pitcher in the National League. Chris Sale says in the article, says, I think that guy's been the best pitcher in the National League. And they're talking about their shared White Sox memories. Hey, do you still talk to Don Cooper? How are his birds? Do you still talk to Don Cooper? You know, and then there off to the side is Garrett Crochet answering questions patiently about what team he's going to be on in 2 weeks. What are we doing here?
So is the question, though, hey, these guys were all here. They're still good. They should still be here. Or is the question, why were you not able to do more with them while they were here? Because the answer to why are they not here is very simple. Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't believe in paying long-term dollars to pitchers.
It all just leads you to that maddening bit of frustration about ownership and failures to really make the most of good players when they have good players.
But you understand what I'm saying. They are two separate questions because it is debatable that you do not want to sign pitchers to big-time contracts and pay for their 30s. That is a reasonable thing that people in baseball basically agree on, honestly. Some teams just do it more than others because they're trying to actually win.
No, that's true. Chris Sale's 3 years of inactivity under the White Sox aegis could have happened here. If they'd sign him to a big 7-year deal, could have had all those injuries eventually come back to haunt him here.
The Sale trade, at least in terms of the return, was celebrated here
at the time.
But I think we have to be fair when we talk about that sort of thing. Like it was celebrated. The guy cut the jerseys. They weren't going to win with him. He was going to be too expensive. Yeah. It was too injury prone with the delivery.
But there's
unbelievable prospects that came back.
So yeah, it's not just. I'm not talking about the decision to trade them and not pay strategically, because that is certainly up for viable debate. I agree. I'm talking about the inability to put together a winner with greatness here. They hit on Chris Sale. Completely hit on him. They completely hit on Garrett Crochet. And I think they're about to trade him away just like they did Chris Sale. Crochet's never going to start a game that matters, you know, for the White Sox if they deal him away here, just like Sale never ended up really starting a game that matters here. So it speaks to their overall failures as a franchise more than just the cheapness, which you could argue has a place in baseball if you wanted to argue it.
How does it hit you guys as at varying degrees of White Sox fandom in the present tense? Like seeing all of those guys still be good enough to be at the All-Star game and knowing, hey, they could be here, but they're not.
Well, like, you know, each of them is his own case, right? Like I love seeing Ronaldo Lopez have success because I always was a believer in that kid and he could do those things. So we saw it for a very limited time when he first got the opportunity to start when they first traded for him. So I knew he had that in him, and I thought he was a little bit misused under Tony and not really given a directive like, hey, this is what you are. It was kind of like you're just getting us out of innings here. So I'm happy for him. And the whole Sale thing, it's like I was so upset at the time in 2016. I was tired of watching him go up against the best pitchers in baseball and outduel them almost every 5 days. And I was tired of seeing Jose Quintana not pitch in any real meaningful games, just like Spiegs was saying. So I was cool with knowing that Chris Sale was probably going to be a Hall of Famer because the Sox needed to choose a direction at that point. We're going on almost a decade ago. But the problem is, they're still there and history is repeating itself. And to Danny's point, it's like, why is this happening over and over and over again? You know, it shouldn't be this way. Like no one would have thought that, like the idea of trading, like the idea of telling a Sox fan back in like 2021, when Garrett Crochet was getting meaningful outs in a setup role, like if you would have told Sox fans then, like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be a dynamite starter, we would have been like, oh yeah, I could see that. But like one of the best, if not the best in baseball, and then he's going to be on the trading block after being named an All-Star, people would say 3 years ago, how did we get here? What happened?
Right, like we're back to being this bad that when that guy hits and turns into everything you could have ever dreamed he would turn into, then you're just going to send him out the door.
Which is, you know, what we talked about briefly yesterday, but like they're going in this direction of a forever rebuild. They're continuing with this, but I don't know who is going to supplement this roster if they decided to keep Garrett Crochet. Let's say Garrett Crochet takes a Chris Sale deal when he signed that team-friendly contract. Like how are they going to build the rest of this team? And I've got my doubts. So as a Sox fan, I'm like, all right, just trade them then, you know, because I when you get older, you just want to see talent live up to their fullest potential, whether it be with your team or another team. You don't want your team dragging down someone with this talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, that is a...
Yeah, I like that guy. No, that's Tanny. I like that guy.
I'm sure you guys can relate out there. I'm not the only one. I can't be.
I like that guy, and he'd be better off somewhere else.
Yeah, it's part of our identity, man.
That's where I'm at. It took Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez's recent success for me to reach a complete point of indifference with the White Sox. Like, it was all sadness. It was anger first, then it was sadness. Like, why can't I have the nice things in my organization that my friends have in theirs? I have so many Rangers fans, friends out in Texas. They're having a great time. They're having a great time. I've got Orioles fan friends. They're having a great time.
Yeah, you are not having a great time.
I've hit a point of elation for those dudes because they deserve it, Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez. But I'm at indifference with the organization. I don't care anymore. I can't tell you the last time I watched an inning.
To your point, Shane.
An inning.
I remember in the last days of Chris Sale, great movie. But going out there, want to go to the ballpark, like, you know what? Like, in case they trade this guy, I want to go out and see him one more time. And I have not gone to a game yet this year, and I want to see Garrett Crochet pitch, but it's like, what's the point?
Well, really? They just told you that the innings, they're gonna control his innings with desperation.
Right,
but it's about between now and the deadline.
Yeah, and I get, but what does that do to your fan base if, like, someone like me who says, yeah, what's the point of going to pay my money to see him pitch because we know he's not going to be around? Like, that type of apathy, that's going to just stay there for generations and generations, because this is how history keeps repeating itself. Time is a flat circle with this organization. Yeah. Keep seeing it over and over again.
Over and over and over and over again. Sale was talking yesterday at the All-Star Media Days about Mark Burley, that he is who he is because of watching Mark Burley. He's like, the job was to be healthy and to go out there every fifth day and pitch as deep as you can in games. That's just what you did. That was it. He called Burley the gold standard. And he was. And it's like, and there's a connectivity to that. It's connectivity from Burley to Sale to all these guys and down to Crochet, but it all leads to a big empty pile of nothing, and it sucks ass.
Because it's not basketball where one guy can save you. And so I have been lamenting the lack of stars on the Cubs, but they've got a lot of guys who are 5 through 25, 26 on a roster. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, man, they don't have the true guys at the absolute top of a roster. The Sox have churned out some guys who are absolute top of the roster guys. Maybe you say that's luck, maybe it isn't. But then it's like they have no ability to support it with anything. And in baseball, that doesn't really get you anything either.
No, it gets you to where you have a couple of pieces and maybe your fans fall in love with somebody who you then have to turn around and deal.
And it's weird because, guys, I don't know if you've had this thought recently like I have, but I found it seems like it's harder and harder to know how to build a winning baseball team.
The tank rules, right, and the draft rules changed it.
Yeah, those things are changing, so like you can't really set yourself up for that type of stuff anymore. But just in terms of like throwing a bunch of money at problems, that doesn't work. Trying to tank and get premium talent, quote-unquote, that doesn't always work.
Because you need so much, and the specialization of it means you need a volume of bullpen pieces that nobody can really find with consistency. Like, you end up leaving yourself open to failings that every team has. I was thinking about it on Saturday night. Porter Hodge, right? He's a punchline I used last segment. But Porter Hodge, he'd been really good. 12 out of 13 appearances unscored upon for the Cubs, right? Saturday night, that game they're trying to win against St. Louis, he gives up.
I like it when they try to win.
Yeah, me too. They should run that play more.
It's just how you should approach professional sports.
They lose a game because they don't have enough offense, and then Porter Hodge gives up a double to Paul Goldschmidt, probable Hall of Famer, and a single to Nolan Arenado, probable Hall of Famer. Okay? You need guys like that you have discovered and crafted out of your own farm system and turned into effective dudes and, and trust. You have to have guys like that. I don't even know who to fault on that. You can't fault Council for putting out Porter Hodge. You could fault Jed for not having more guys, but even great teams. Last year in the World Series, the Diamondbacks had this kid, Andrew Salfrank, who nobody had ever heard of, who came out of nowhere, was great for them in September in the playoffs. Josh Spores of the Rangers was great for them in September in the playoffs. Nobody had ever heard of those guys. They don't make the World Series without those guys. You have to have, to Tanny's point, some kind of magic bullpen creation from your system, or else you don't stand a chance.
Yeah, you better draft, you better develop, and you better be teaching the game the same way, the correct way, from the lower levels and even back to, you know, the Dominican and Venezuela. Teach it the same way at every level, and the reality is that's difficult, and that costs money, you know?
And it takes a unified vision, which the White Sox haven't had for decades.
They never have.
Well, it's hard in any corporate structure to get everyone to, and I'm not, like, absolving the White Sox of blame here, but it's just to have, like, the elite organizations have that. Not every, most of the organizations just don't.
It's absolutely true.
But, the thing where the White Sox are an outlier, and this is what makes me so angry, yes, it is hard to win. Yes, it's hard to build sustained success. But the White Sox don't even do a single thing right outside of the food at the park. Like, even the worst organizations in professional sports have maybe one superstar. And yes, the White Sox have Luis Robert, but he hasn't proved it yet. They don't do anything right.
I forgot that they have two representatives at the All-Star game. The Campfire Milkshake is there tonight.
Yes, it is. Right? Yeah.
So
that was big.
Could have won the Home Run Derby last night if it tried. Most boring sporting event I've ever seen.
Whoa!
It sucked.
The milkshake and a, like, tip a little straw or tip the cherry, tip the marshmallow.
A marshmallow, yeah.
Tonight when introduced, yeah. The marshmallow comes off the straw. That's a great visual right there. Now starting from the White Sox, the Campfire Milkshake. Shane, most boring sporting event? What?
The Derby? I watch the Derby every year. That was the worst one in my 32 years.
Wow.
Worst.
You should have come over to my house. It was a big hit at my house.
Yeah, it's dangerous at your house last night, though.
Well, you know, you got
no regard for tornadoes.
You got Christine rooting for Teoscar Hernandez just because he's Latin. And she's like, yeah, we need one. We need a winner. I don't want Alec Boehm to win.
Yeah, there have never been any successful Latin players in baseball.
The same.
God. You do the same thing at your house?
Hate on the white guy.
Just
I get
me,
it.
Yeah.
So you got that. And then Ruben was so connected to the Derby because of MLB The Show. You can do Home Run Derby on MLB The Show.
Okay.
And Pete Alonso is his guy. So he was locked in. He's locked in from moment one of the Derby. Like, here's my guy, Alonso.
Well, he sucked.
He sucked.
You know I'm very partial to Latins.
We know.
Hawk would have been welcome on my couch.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a really bad Derby.
It was a tough one.
Objectively,
I thought it was great.
They gotta
40
it.
Pitches is way too much, brother.
Tighten
That's
it up.
Way too much for all the rounds.
It shouldn't be longer than a game. Games are shorter now. I'm sorry. This is what they've created. It's what BO has created.
Wow.
This product should be shorter as well. It just makes sense.
Wow. I'll send you my wife and child next year for the Derby, and it will improve the quality of your experience.
She's going to send them to you in the mail.
Improve the quality of yours by losing them or his by gaining them?
Yeah, exactly. Don't ask too many follow-up questions.
I don't
want
to respond to that.
The other thing...
It was really bad. Softball game was good, though.
Really? It's supposed to...
I didn't watch your softball game.
I didn't either.
Oh, you didn't either?
No, I didn't watch.
You said you're talking at all. You said it was the second best event of the year.
I was in and out of sleep. It was on.
The Derby put you to sleep. You're blaming the Derby for you not watching softball.
Yes.
The Derby is supposed to be kind of like the hot dog eating contest of baseball. It's supposed to be like Americana and gluttonous and all about.
So we let a Latin win?
Chicks dig the long ball, that sort of thing. No. Berman should do it.
Yeah, he should.
Carl Ravitch, and where is the stat?
Wait a minute.
What?
Zach Berman?
No, my guy Zach Berman, ZB.
Zach Berman should do it?
No, Chris Berman should be back there. He hit one to Lake Forest.
Back.
Yeah. Whoop! Like,
haven't been down here in Texas since Fettuccine Alfredo Griffin was playing the outfield.
Oh, yeah, definitely would have been better.
Yeah, he was smooth.
Dude,
creamy.
It's like a boring talk show during the Derby. It's very understated. It's supposed. Benetti did the Statcast of it. That was gone. That was also too, like, oh, the
Statcast.
There's a Statcast now.
Yeah, Kevin Brown did it.
Last night, Kevin Brown got that gig from Benetti? All
right, that's so perfect.
I can't listen to Eduardo Perez. It's me calling home runs. I can't listen to Eduardo Perez.
How about top of Todd Frazier singing Sinatra tunes?
He was okay. Todd was okay.
I thought he was pretty good.
They rolled the Todd father out there, which I did not know he was part of their panel of analysts, but it's like, here he is.
I think he was just an all-star break grab for the Derby. Two-time Derby winner, Todd Frazier.
It should be yelling and fireworks and pomp and circumstance. I don't need analysis during the home run derby. It should be silly. There should be targets out there. We should be playing games. If you hit this target, someone in the stands gets a car. If you hit this target, someone in the stands gets $10 million.
I love that, actually.
If it should just be a...
There should be more targets of things in the stands.
It should be a circus. It should just be
guys get up there and do takes.
Yeah, there should be a moat. There should be trampolines.
You want a gorilla on a unicycle?
What if you had like
I know broadcasters could come and do their best panther impressions.
That'd be incredible. But what if there was like, all right, so like a cub is hitting and there's a Brewer outfielder who could be on a trampoline who could jump and try to rob home runs. or kids could be out there with nets. Like tennis rackets.
I love the all-star
or paintball guns.
Yeah, to knock down the ball. Like, you should be able to play some form of defense.
We should just hunt human beings during this thing, actually.
Yeah. The most dangerous game.
At bare minimum, put a dog shock collar on him, and every time you don't hit a homer, you get a little buzz.
Yeah, a little punishment.
Send Alec Baldwin out there with a stunt gun.
Can I get some stakes? Can I get some actual stakes attached to this sporting event? Why do I care if I don't have money on it?
Free my boy Alec, by the way.
They're going to free him.
He's free. He's been free the whole time. He's going to continue to be free.
They should have him play Russian roulette out there. He's standing in center field with a revolver, one round in there.
God. I'm just saying. That's...
So you want defense. You want guys on trampoline playing defense.
I want cool gimmicks.
You weren't the only one, Danny. I hope you feel better after hearing this.
Molly, this is one for you. A lot of people will say, Joe Buck, he doesn't like the Cubs, and I'm sick of Joe Buck, and I'm sick of this guy. You know, when you get away from like the icons of calling things.
Play them off with that music.
If you watched that last night and you didn't miss Chris Berman, then you're really not a good sports fan because that was
Thank you, Dustin.
Brutal. That broadcast is boring.
Wow.
At least some personality, at least some life. I mean, I could have used a whole lot more of back.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's another guy who needs my wife and child on his couch.
I'm with him. Little bit of fun. We don't need a serious broadcast for a non-serious event. It is not a serious event.
They should put people out there to call it who have never called baseball before. That would be fun.
Well, look, I mean, you don't need a guy out there doing shtick. You don't need someone who's boring. Like, someone like Benetti would have been perfect.
Benetti would
someone
be great.
Who knows how to do a talk show type of vibe.
Yes.
And smart and fun. Yeah.
Kevin Brown
isn't calling USA Basketball.
Kevin Brown would be perfect as well. Kevin Brown's really good.
Jason Benetti's the only one capable of doing that job appropriately.
Sorry about that.
And of course, listen, I'm not saying don't tell Teoscar Hernandez's story or Bobby Witt's story obviously promote the guys. They deserve the platform. It's just there should be.
You didn't like Gunnar Henderson's Scooby-Doo impression?
Didn't
speak for you?
How about Buster Olney, that dumbass, dropping the ball and not asking him to do the impression? Like Eduardo Perez had to ask him when he was walking behind the desk.
Yeah.
Like Buster's like, oh yeah, you do a nice Scooby-Doo impression, huh? Okay, see you later. And he's walking,
Good
back.
To know.
Eduardo's like, hey, Gunnar, can you do it for me? Yeah. And he did it. It was wonderful.
Yeah. There you go. That's
all
good
right,
TV.
See you later.
Hey. I was probably watching the tornado at that point.
Probably.
I was watching the weather.
I did not heed the warning in the South Loop.
This was off air. I was like, didn't your screen like turn blue? And he's like, yeah, that's when I went to the app. I'm like, well, I changed to the weather after I got control of the cable box.
I never got back.
And so most people stopped watching the Derby and started watching the news to see if they were going to, die.
I did not feel warned.
And Speaks was like, Alec Boehm. It's coming up.
Shane told me his lips are very bright red. I need to see this. Oh, pink, whatever they are. They were very pink on my app.
They were very pink on your
they
app.
They were.
Okay.
They showed up nicely there.
Mark Grody at 4:00. We have a, I don't even really. You're calling this the odd couple of Bulls reporting, which is an interesting way of framing it. So it's next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style.
you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on the Score.
When you think dope, you think Casey Johnson.
I think he's a Judas to a certain extent.
All right, so Darnell Mayberry was on the station earlier today. Casey Johnson was on the station earlier today. Joe Cowley's got a column out. Casey Johnson had a column out. Arturo's got a column out. All the Bulls reporters are at Summer League in Vegas. And part of it is to watch...
Matas Buzelis.
Buzelis, yes.
Summer League, make me feel fine. Sorry, carry on.
No. That was really good.
Not really.
That was fine.
Well, you know.
I'm going to Las Vegas in my mind.
Yes! Listen, I thought the anthem last night was good.
Sorry, I was drunk. My bad.
What do I know?
Sorry, I was just drunk. That's why the singing was bad.
I think that's how it works. So
please don't critique my vocal.
But I think the bigger reason, actually, that they went, not that they would not have gone anyway, but the bigger reason was because this team is tearing down the old core, and AK promised the writers that he would speak. And DeMar is a king, and Vooch is still here. And LaVine is still here.
Mm-hmm.
And have you really torn it down enough is the question of the moment. And Darnell and KC's columns were kind of about that.
Yes.
They were about what AK said to the reporters in Vegas about Zach and DeMar and the direction of the team. Joe Cowie filed a column. Bulls Zach LaVine could be heading for dysfunction without a buffer, and paints a picture of
dump it.
Paints a picture of DeMar DeRozan being a buffer between Zach LaVine and Billy Donovan stems from a benching of a game against the Magic that Zach didn't get over.
Oh yeah, Zach never got over the benching. And there's Cowley with the deets, the significant deets, where he said that Zach understood how to remain professional because of DeRozan's presence. Doesn't mean the players in the locker room haven't heard LaVine be openly critical of Donovan. He never's gotten over a benching in the fourth quarter of the loss to the Magic, like you mentioned. That's Billy's decision. He's got to lay with it. You play a guy like me down the stretch. Benching was the first domino, and here where Cowley continues. According to a former teammate, LaVine complained that Donovan went out of his way to point out his defensive miscues in film sessions and also would complain about late game situations and his role in clutch moments. And that would make sense, given that LaVine publicly expressed concern early last year the Bulls' offense was getting too predictable in those situations. So, yeah, Cowley paints this thing, like you say, and that DeMar was a buffer. DeMar was the adult. DeMar was the guy helping to keep it all rolling as an extension of Billy Donovan with the somewhat surly Zach. And so in the Odd Couple thing, the Odd Couple vein, this morning, Gabe Ramirez and Mully asked KC Johnson about this this idea. And let's just say KC knew exactly where it came from.
Well, the reports from Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times, I mean, the Billy Zach angle, I mean, I reported that, you know, like you said, 2 years ago. So that's an old angle. The DeMar buffer thing, you know, that's Joe's reporting. And I do believe there's some truth to it. Absolutely. What I would say is I've always felt Zach has had – it's less about that benching from 2 years ago and more just about last season they were trying to play a different way at the start of the season offensively. And there were times where Zach was just running up the court and going to the corner. And he did not like that. And then he was hurt, and it, you know, the whole team got off to a poor start, and Zach at times felt like he was being singled out. I'll just say this. You know, we've asked Billy about this privately, publicly. We've asked Zach about this privately, publicly. They have had issues in the past. You know, Zach's best way to get out of here, if that's ultimately what he wants, is to come in, be professional, play his ass off, play well, and, you know, that will help increase his value.
I love that they need each other. Joe Kelly and Casey Johnson, they kind of like push each other. Like, Casey pushes Joe to maybe be, I don't know, a little more professional, perhaps. And Joe pushes Casey in moments like that. Just go ahead and share a little more. Go ahead. You can't deny my reporting. So go ahead and validate it. Why don't you? And he kind of does. They've got a nice synergy on the beat. I think Bulls fans need both of them.
They definitely need both. The larger the beat, the better the coverage. Because you have got more people working the same limited number of sources. And so someone's going to have a relationship with one guy better than another. And it drives people to do it. Maybe you got a better relationship with the front office or this player or a trainer or an agent or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, the more veteran reporters on a beat, the better. I completely agree.
Yeah, and somebody's going to be willing to share something, whereas another, you know, writer might not be willing to share something if they're all there.
Yeah.
You know, and but I just feel like those two guys, and I know how much they like each other and respect each other, so it just, I dig it.
That's good.
Did you like Casey's tone right there? Well, I mean, I had that report.
Well, the reports from Joe Kelly from the Sun-Times.
Sure.
I mean, the Billy Zach angle, I mean, I reported that, you know, like you said, 2 years ago.
Get out of here.
I'm there.
Get out of here. Yeah, restructure a column based on my reporting from 2 years ago again, Cowley. You go, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's also, Zach, he hasn't been unprofessional. To me, when I read Colley's column, if I was Zach, I'd be like, man, it's a little insulting to suggest that the only reason I've been professional is because DeMar DeRozan has been here. Like, I have a gold medal. I have a max contract. I have two All-Star appearances under, you know, on my resume. DeMar, yes, is the better basketball player who's more widely respected around the league, but on the court.
But he's also a mature adult. He's the OG. The OG was their best player. DeMar was the OG.
But I'm saying, like, what are the list of transgressions from Zach LaVine that you would say are immature?
It's a small list.
He got pissed and he ran off the floor and he brushed past the PR lady.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad look. Some people would say letting Clutch put the trade request stuff out there was a bad look, but that happens all the time.
You know what? I answered too soon with the short list, because the public trade request followed by after he was injured, the team having to say in a statement that Zach and his agents elected the surgery and basically elected the end of the season.
Well, listen, I always will have a degree of skepticism on any team-related release of injury information, especially from the Bulls, given the Derrick Rose and Luol Deng and on and on and on situation.
So you think Cowley is invested in Zach looking like a negative off the court? Because there's been some stuff that leans that way, and this writing today.
I'm not even making that allegation against Cowley. I'm not making that allegation. I know that he doesn't like the contract, and he believe, you know, he's always done the Zach is Robin and not Batman, and he's like Cowley is a beat reporter and a columnist.
Yes,
he blends the two together. KC writes columns but is a reporter. I do think that there's a little difference. Like, there's almost always commentary in a Joe Cowley story.
Yes.
Sometimes Casey writes a straight game story and a fact story, and sometimes he writes a column, and it's pretty clearly two different things.
Clear. And I will admit that I lean towards Joe's angle on this,
but in terms of
Zach as a negative on the court, and with the potential very much for Zach to be a negative off the court now in the absence of DeMar.
And I'm not even saying that isn't possible or true. I am just saying there isn't a long list of things. Has he been perfect? No, of course not. DeMar has basically been. DeMar has been Kobe light. right, in terms of work ethic. He drives down to Champaign to go with Io to his jersey ceremony. Yeah. He, you know, invites Patrick Williams out to the West Coast to do the three workouts a day. I mean, DeMar got more money in more years than I thought he was worth, and then exceeded that contract.
But in terms of the interpersonal dynamic, too, like, DeMar clearly is, and Eversley said it this weekend, DeMar has been an extension of Billy Donovan on the court and in the locker room.
Yes.
He's been that guy. So it's natural that in his absence, whoever's going to think they're the dude in the room is going to be much less encumbered or more unencumbered.
Zach carries, even if we don't think that he is, Zach carries himself like a superstar. Superstar agent, superstar walk, superstar talk, superstar contract. So I don't believe that because DeMar DeRozan is gone, Zach is all of a sudden going to be some sort of like unprofessional malcontent. Like, he'll show up, he'll report, but he's going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it's, man, he got hurt and played bad.
Well, somebody else is either going to have to step in as a person that helps with that relationship in terms of Billy and Zach, and maybe it'll be an assistant coach. Some interesting assistant coaches that are now there. Wes Unseld Jr.'s here,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So, so it could be that, or maybe Billy and Zach will have to come to a higher level of understanding to work together. And I love the KC said there's some validity to Joe's reporting about DeMar as a buffer. So I think there's something there. Maybe it takes the both of them to get to the absolute truth of it. But I appreciate the mix of their efforts.
Yeah, I think so too. And it'll be fascinating. But just to be as clear as possible, they don't want Zach LaVine to have to be at training camp.
They really don't.
But
and I'm with them.
Yeah. But the thing that I keep trying to say in all of this is you're going to get nothing for Zach LaVine. And you could say I'm okay with that, but there is what trade market possibly exists for a guy that has a three-year, $138 million contract who hasn't been healthy in 2 years and when he played was bad.
And especially now that a lot of those teams like the Pistons and the Kings and others have gone ahead and added somebody that might have fit
so,
in his stead.
So they're not going to be able to trade him. Like, they don't want him here, but they're not going to be able to trade him.
They don't want to attach a first rounder to get it done, but maybe they'll attach 2 seconds. You think he's here on opening day?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, we should make that bet, you and I, right now.
I think they want him gone, but I can't imagine a scenario. Who is going to trade for him until he proves that he's healthy?
I don't know.
I don't have a team for you.
Which is why I can't make one of my patented bets.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to make the bet with you.
Oh, I know you are.
I'm happy to make the bet with you. I just can't imagine him having any market until he proves that he can play basketball. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
This is Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants. And I am here at the request of MOB. Keep up the good work. Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
No one knows how many more he can throw in the second half. But every big horse out there leading its division is ready to give up the farm, literally, to get Garrett Crochet.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
Literally give up a farm. Farmland's valuable. I mean, is it a cattle farm? Is it a wind farm?
Hold on a second.
Is it farmland with oil underneath?
Speaks, are you catching the front end of it, too, that Tanny did not say in his tease today in the thread?
No one knows how many more he can throw in the second half, but every big horse out there leading its division is ready to give up the farm, literally, to get Garrett Crochet.
How the hell? Yeah,
the horse is giving up. It's a horse farm.
The horse is giving up the farm. Where's the horse going?
Hold on. The horse is going to be homeless.
Literally giving up the farm. The horses.
I know you can bet the farm.
I missed that. My bad.
I've bet the farm before. Can you give up the farm?
I've heard that expression.
Give away the farm?
Yeah, no. I think we should be focusing more on the horse literally giving up the farm for a pitcher.
Yeah, the word literal is where we should be focused.
Yes, literally giving away the farm.
It's a horse making a decision. This is a smart horse.
It makes me sad because the farm is a lot of memories for me, man. I used to go there as a little kid.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I'd go there. That's where I learned how to plant corn. That's where I learned how to, you know, get lost in the grain silo.
Folks, I had a farm. It was 1863. I learned how to ride a horse.
I mean, seriously, I slept in the barn, slept overnight in the barn. You can't give away the whole farm.
The whole farm.
You might need that.
But I mean, it's pretty good value for Crochet. It's only got a couple more years of control.
It depends on the acreage.
He's ready to give up the farm, literally, to get Garrett Crochet.
Did you guys ever have a pet when you were a kid that your parents said was sent to the farm?
Oh, boy. No, I never did. I have friends who did.
Good.
The Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. It didn't go away.
It's very sad.
We buried a hamster one time because we thought it was dead, or a guinea pig. And then like 15, 20 years later, I read that guinea pigs hibernate during the winter. So we just buried a guinea pig alive.
Oh!
Yeah, they go dead for like 2 months and then they come back in the spring.
Oh, boy.
No, guinea pigs were harmed
Not
in the
him.
Making of this radio
yeah,
show.
Yeah, we buried
him.
A guinea pig alive.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, I was like 8.
Yeah, animal cruelty.
My dad should have done more research.
Yeah. My friend who
Bernstein mentioned yesterday, Bad Influence Davey, he told me when he was a kid. Bad Influence Davey.
That's such a great nickname. Such a good moniker.
Bad Influence Davey, when he was a kid, they went to a farm, Shane, and he was allowed to take home a chick, a little baby Aww. Chicken. And he, the chicken used to pick, or peck away, I should say, at its own leg, and it would bleed a little bit. So he nicknamed the chicken Bloody the chicken.
Oh, wow.
And then one morning he woke up and Bloody was gone, and his parents told him they took the chicken back to the farm.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, man, they killed that chicken. I don't think they did.
I don't think they got in the car and went back to the farm.
I think the parents were lying.
$1.79 for a chick. Very cheap.
Really?
What? $1.79 for a chick.
And then what, do you raise it until it's grown and then eat it?
I mean, sure, if you want to, that's the way you want to do it.
Get eggs?
Yeah, or you get eggs, yeah.
It's a good investment.
$1.79.
Anyone live Farm near people who own chickens?
Yes, I do.
How do we feel about that, folks?
I love it. I want a coop in my backyard.
I got Don Cooper in my backyard.
Is that why he won't text me back?
I'll invite him in one of these days, but yeah. I like having him back there.
I don't trust people with city chickens.
Why?
You gotta have space, no?
You got plenty of space. They don't need to run. They're just laying eggs.
Just hang out in a coop.
But what about the noise, though?
They're not that loud.
What would you rather have
ask
near
a neighbor? That'd be ask a blank for this week.
Do you have some? Huh? Do you have chickens in your neighborhood?
We do. Yeah, I walk by them. They're not on our block, but a funny story. We had a condo that we were trying to get rid of, and like
that one.
next door to us, there was a big chicken family, and I was like, these people are coming over to try to buy this condo.
Was it Bernstein just stopping at Brown's every day,
killing your property value?
That's what I kept thinking. I was like, if we can't sell this thing because this chicken coop here, but no, all was well.
Yeah,
I guess people dig it. You know, they get fresh eggs every day.
I love chickens.
I ever tell you guys, when I was a kid, my sister used to think she was a chicken. She thought she was a chicken. She kept saying, I'm a chicken. We were like, you know, and I said to my dad, can we tell her she's not a chicken? And he said, no, you can't tell her. I said, why? And he said, we need the eggs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That deserved a rim shot.
It really did.
That's okay.
Break, please.
Yeah, I got to.
Oh, come on,
I'm trying to regain any level of composure. Mark Rohde's got information on Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze signing a contract. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.